the opportunity is in front of me, and I am going to take full advantage of it. You know that over many years and opportunities, we have done historical sermons. I can't remember the last time we did a historical sermon. It's probably been some time. But today, we're going to do the oldest historical sermon ever. Delivered by Christ in Galilee, the Sermon on the Mount is as old as it gets. Even predates Peter at Pentecost and other opportunities. We are going to hear Christ giving the first sermon to the church and what it looks like to be the church. So that for me is very exciting, because what I want to, if you remember, for those of you here last week, I said that the Sermon on the Mount is both a historic event, meaning it happened, Christ preached this in its entirety in that location on that hilltop outside of Capernaum along the shores of Galilee. But at the same time, it was a sermon that was preached on many occasions and many variations and many opportunities. As any preacher knows, once you have a good sermon in your pocket, you want to share that as every opportunity you get. I doubt it that Jesus preached this one time. I'm sure he preached this sermon or a variation of it on several opportunities. The second thing I want to share with you is that it is all put together. This is not a mashup, okay, if I'm using that right. My daughter can correct me if I'm using this right or not. So this isn't just like a collection of Jesus was thinking of, I should talk about this and this and this and this, and then it was just all jammed together. It actually has a unity to it that I hope you're going to see. And I'm going to try to give it to you right now very briefly before I preach the sermon. But it starts with the Beatitudes, giving us this poetic look of what the Christian life is to look like. And then in very practical ways, Jesus goes into in the sermon, okay, what does it look like to be pure in heart? What does it look like to be meek? What does it look to be to mourn your sin? So the Beatitudes is then expounded upon in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. You can connect dots, if you will, to some of the teachings, teaching us how to pray, what to pray about, what it means to forgive your forgive your enemies. All of that then flows through the sermon. Jesus then in chapter 5 and chapter 6, then gets into a pattern. And this goes back to something else I said last week about that this thinking of the Sermon on the Mount is like a version of this is the new law. This is 2.0 Mount Sinai. This experience, this up on a mountain outside of the Sea of Galilee, our brain should go to Moses and Mount Sinai and him delivering the law. Because, and one of the things that points to that is this repetitive thing Jesus does throughout the sermon, which is, you have heard it said, and then he quotes, sometimes from the Torah, but also sometimes from the Talmud. We'll talk about that. But then he will follow up and say, but I say to you, and then he goes into a new teaching. Now, by the way, that's incredibly significant, if you can imagine. Many folks, I mean, if a scribe or a Pharisee were teaching, they would invoke the authority of Moses and whatnot about what they're saying. But in this sermon, Jesus does what I would never do, which is, but I say to you. I mean, he speaks very clearly, I am telling you this. By my authority, I tell you this. So notice that. Jesus does this several times. You've heard it said, but I say to you. And then in chapter 6, Jesus deals with righteousness, about what it looks like to practice righteousness. You know, again, early in the Beatitudes, he talks about that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So then in chapter 6, he goes through various aspects like, okay, now this is the righteousness you see here, but this is the righteousness that you are to practice. He covers topics like prayer, about taking care of the needy, about fasting. So he's pulling apart a little bit of more what it looks like to be righteous. And then finally, maybe most importantly, just like any sermon, there's the intro, which is the Beatitudes, but there is also a conclusion. And sometimes I don't know that we always understand that it is the conclusion to the sermon, but hopefully you'll see it today, is that teaching that Christ talks about hearing my words and being like a person who plants a house on a rock. rock and sand. That whole illustration, which I'll try to emphasize, is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, Christ is saying, I'm not sharing this sermon like, hey, that's kind of interesting philosophical stuff. Maybe apply it, maybe don't. He's saying, you need to heed these words. And if you follow these words, it's like putting a house on a firm foundation. So just when I get to that portion, hope that you see that teaching, that final teaching is meant sort of as a wrap up, as a conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, to understand it in that historical context. Okay. So listen to these things. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to preach Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for providing for us this historical event, this historic sermon that you taught us, that you preached, that on a day outside of Capernaum on a hillside looking over the Sea of Galilee, you preached this sermon to your disciples, to those who came to hear. And you preached this on many occasions. And since that moment, it has been looked at and studied and reflected upon for many, many centuries. And Lord, as we, your people, have the opportunity to do that this morning, may we hear this sermon in its totality. May we understand it, how it all fits together, how that it isn't just a random bunch of teachings, but one in which you are teaching a sermon that follows one teaching after another, interconnected. Thank you, Lord, for this, the opportunity that we have to hear your word, which is a means of grace, which is one in which encourages and uplifts our soul. May it indeed do so this day. In Christ's name, amen. So this is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and give it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar There, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. For if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also. And if anyone sues you takes your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 4, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you in darkness, how great is the darkness? Am I hearing what I'm hearing? Really? Is this really happening? Okay. Okay. I am so sorry. Okay. All right. Hopefully. Okay. Someone's got their app. All right. Sorry. This didn't happen when Jesus prayed this, to give the sermon. So he got interrupted. I'm sure it was a beautiful sunny day. Okay. All right. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is you in darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the other and love the other, or he will be devoted to the other and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven will give good things to those who ask him. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And then Jesus finished these sayings. The crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we do not walk in our own righteousness. We do not have to figure life out on our own. That just here in a brief few moments, we have the richness of understanding what it means to be a follower of you. You in your totality, you in your infinite wisdom, provide for us what it means to be your people, what that looks like. And Lord, help us to be as you wrapped up that sermon, that we would be like a wise person who builds on a rock, that builds our house on the rock, not on sand. That we would not ignore these words, that we would seek to apply them, to live them, to put them into practice. But Lord, we look at what you are saying here, what you are calling us to, and Lord, it is beyond our capacity and ability. But we know by your grace, by your work, by the leading of your Spirit, that you are an example of righteousness, that we are to pursue and orient ourselves in this way, and that you are gracious and compassionate to those who try but fail. We pray, Lord, that we do not do these things in our own strength and our own ability, but we do these by the work of your Spirit. Thank you for teaching us and showing us what it means to be your people, what it looks like to live a life of pursuing and hungering for righteousness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as you're able for our hymn of response, which this morning is Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please remain standing and look in your bulletin to our confession of faith using the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 61.